Good evening and a very warm welcome to this Christmas Eve Watch Night service. It's lovely to be able to join with you online for our service, and we hope that you do enjoy this time together wherever you're watching it from. And I hope you're comfortable and warm and safe where you are participating in our service tonight. As is the usual practice here in Kemnay, prior to the Watch Night service, there'll be a time of gathering carols. And I'm going to link the carols by telling you the story of Christmas in the form of a limerick. Don't take it too seriously. It's supposed to be a time of fun and celebration. So if you're all sitting comfortably, then I'll begin. There was once a young girl called Mary who heard something really quite scary. What Gabriel said might have filled her with dread, but not so too brave young Mary. So let's sing together. Oh, come and join the dance. Mary didn't have time to relax, for she knew that they'd have to make tracks. With her dear fiancé, she would hurry away down to Bethlehem, there to pay tax. So let's sing again, In the Bleak Midwinter.
Thank you.
in a smelly old animal shed, with no duvet and no feather bed, Mary laid in a manger her son, and what stranger, 'twas just as the angel had said. So let's sing, "See Him Lying in a Bed of Straw." Angels came to some shepherds that night, which of course gave the sheep quite a fright. Said the angels, "Get down to the centre of town," and the shepherds responded, "All right." Let's sing, "Christ is our light."
Oh,
When the shepherds arrived, they soon found in that manger with straw strewn around, baby Jesus asleep, so they had to all creep in on tiptoe with barely a sound. So let's sing, "Come and Join the Celebration." Child secretly comes in the night. Now a star over Bethlehem city burnt. Sorry, that's not phrasing. Sorry, now a star over Bethlehem city. Sorry, we'll forget that. Start again. Now a star over Bethlehem city burned brightly and looked rather pretty. It was spotted by men, three in number, who then headed off to that famous old city. And we sing, "Infant Holy, Infant Lowly." Those wise men roared up in a blur, with their incense, their gold, and their myrrh. They fell to their knees, saying, "Take these gifts, please." And Mary replied, "Thank you, sir." and we sing Once in Royal David's City. This concludes what I wanted to say regarding that first Christmas day. You were most kind to hear me, and now you might cheer me and clap as I go on my way. And we're closing this section of the service by singing, For Unto Us a Child is Born.
Given, a son is given, but the
Hope that you all enjoyed singing these carols as much as I will. And we're now going to move to our service. We've gathered on Christmas Eve, a night when we prepare ourselves to welcome the Christ child. It's the most precious of nights. So let's worship together and sing our first carol on Christmas night, All Christians Sing. Now join together in prayer. Shall we pray? Lord Jesus Christ, child in a manger, thank you for your gifts of peace, hope, love, and joy. We pray for the world into which you were born. We lift to you those living in poverty, those who are oppressed, those forced to flee their homes, recognizing their stories in the tale of your nativity. Loving Father, you chose to let your child be born in poverty and of doubtful parentage in an occupied country with unstable rulers. You chose to let him risk death in a dirty stable after a long journey by a pregnant teenager. You chose to let him grow up poor and in danger and misunderstood by those who loved him, while the rich are still full and it is the poor who are sent away empty. Help us, lest we in our ignorance or anger walk away from those who have no choice. Fill us with your presence, and may your Spirit touch us in our worship this holy night. For we ask this prayer in Jesus' most precious name. Amen. You know, God's Word. I want to read to you two passages of the Christmas story from the Old Testament. The prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 9, reading some verses from that chapter. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, established and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. And from St. Luke's Gospel, the story of the first Christmas. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should go and be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the field nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those with whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they'd heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Amen. And thanks to his most precious word. We're going to sing that great carol from Austria, "Still the Night, Holy the Night."
Thank you.
Shall we pray? May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all our hearts be acceptable to you, our Lord and our Redeemer. Amen. When I was a lad, I wonder how many older people would have begun a statement with something along these lines, quite often followed by something which is often critical of modern living. The older I get, the more I say when I was a lad. When I was a lad, I'm sure my son is fed up me telling him how good life is for him compared with how I had it. This colder weather would have had us frozen at home with thick ice on the inside windows of our house, all of us sitting round an electric fire in the living room because there was no other heating in the house, the pipes afraid that they would freeze, and wearing coats to bed to keep warm. When I was a lad, no double glazing nor central heating to keep the cold out. We just got on with it. Well, actually, truthfully, my early life was never that bad. Our house was at times cold, but not to the extreme. Even in the old prefab, with the coal fire causing it to be damp due to condensation. And then in the mid-60s, we moved to a new council house with underfloor heating, only in the living room and the hallway, but still it seemed amazing to walk on warm feet. And we did just get on with it. And I've never in my life had to go to bed wearing layers of clothes to keep me warm, and I'm grateful for that, not even after the recent power cuts. When I was a lad, Christmas seemed so much more than it is now. In my home, there was never much money spare. My dad was an insurance agent and then a van driver, and though he made enough to get by on, we never seemed to want for anything. There was no extravagance. But life seemed as happy for us as for anyone else. Our Christmas decorations had been the same for as long as I can remember, even having paper tinsel on the tree. The lights were from the Ark, but they worked every year when they were plugged in, and my aunt worked as an electrician's buyer so she could source out replacement bulbs when needed. When I was a lad, Christmas seemed so simple. It began the week before Christmas when we were taken down to the centre of town on late-night shopping on a Thursday to see the Christmas lights. I recall walking hand in hand with my mum down parts of Dundee, which are no longer there, being amazed at the beautiful decorations in the shop windows and hanging across the streets above our heads. Or sitting in the back of my dad's car, driving around looking out the windows, hugging my mum's fur coat, her pride and joy, which didn't get worn much. Or later then, it was staying up late on Christmas Eve to go, weather permitting, to the watch night service at our own church a few miles across town from where we lived. But before that, we'd pop into our neighbour's for a mince pie and a cup of tea or juice. And then on Christmas morning, when we'd finally got to sleep, the presents would magically appear around the tree and Santa would have come in the night. When I was a lad, Christmas Day was an early start. We as a family always opened our presents first thing to see what we'd got. And then we kids and my dad were sent out to play while my mum and aunt made Christmas lunch. A feast, homemade vegetable broth, a capon or beef, then trifle or clouty dumpling with the silver thruckneys wrapped in greaseproof paper. We would clear the table after lunch and settle down to watch the big film on TV and Morecambe and Wise. The TV back then was black and white, and such a small screen compared with the ones today. The old ones would fall asleep in front of the fire, and the young ones would play with their new toys until it was time for supper, leftover lunch, and then, exhausted, we went to bed. When I was a lad. And you know, probably if I recounted this tale to my brother or sister, all that's left of the family of that generation now, of those Christmas experiences I've just told you, they would question whether my memory was right. My brother would say I was looking through rose-tinted glasses. He would probably remember the fights over the presents. Because we were twins, we often got one present to share because the family couldn't afford two. My sister, who's older, would say, "Yes, but I had to keep an eye on you and your brother when we were out and help clear the table after the meal and do the dishes." It would be different for them. And folks, I think that's the wonder of Christmas. We all see it from a slightly different perspective. I wonder what your memories are of Christmas. Somewhere in all our Christmas memories and traditions, we have put aside sometimes the real reason for this season of fun and fellowship. We have lost that reason why Christmas came at all. Our trees are delightful. Our presents bought, our cards sent, our houses decorated, our homes made ready for tomorrow's celebration. And yet through it all, where is the baby born in a manger? I have to confess that our family, on Christmas Day, it's a day we go to church. Of course it is. I'm usually taking worship. And then for the rest of the day, it's about food, it's about family, it's about presents. It's not holy in that sense of being a religious festival. It's a fun day, and I would never want anybody not to have fun on Christmas. But where is the baby of Bethlehem? In the build-up, during the parties, during the meals, maybe in some time we just cast our mind back to that manger and to that holy family in a stable where there was nowhere else for them to stay. During the day, I tried to set aside time, just a little time, no fuss, to picture that holy family, to put all the busyness of Christmas into perspective. I wonder what your image of that first Christmas, the picture in your mind's eye when you speak about Christmas. To the people of Jesus' day, they had an image that a Messiah would come, a Christ, not one born in a manger. The prophet Isaiah had given a vision of that first Christmas with the birth of the Savior of the world. The birth, he said, would arrive at a time when the people were walking in darkness, a time when light would shine, where sadness would change to joy. He had this vision. A child is born to us. A son is given to us. And he will be our ruler. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. He will rule as King David's successor, basing his power on right and justice from now until the end of time. The prophet told us that a special child would be born and that we would have gifts and that he would have gifts and powers that would bring justice and peace for all time. And the people waited. They waited for the fulfillment, and they wondered, and many lost hope. In the years between the prophecy and the actual coming of Christ, they bent their images, twisted their scripture, and expected more. They wanted a Messiah, not in terms of a wonderful counselor, but a mighty king, like King David many years before. No one could have expected the humble birth. No one even saw no one ever saw that one year there was in the sky a new star, a star that attracted wise men from the east in search of the one who'd been written about. No one expected them to come to a small hamlet of Bethlehem, where they, like ordinary shepherds before them, would bow down and worship a child. This was Christmas. We all know the Christmas story. Mary is visited by an angel, Gabriel. She's told that she's to have a child. She's to be the mother of the Son of God. And although she's shocked, she's happy to be of service. Her fiancé is visited in her dream to say, "Don't discard this lady. This is part of God's plan." And he accepts it. They travel all that distance from Nazareth to the village of Bethlehem because of a census. and there's nowhere for them to stay. And we know the story. Mary has a baby in a stable with animals around. Shepherds come and visit, as do wise men later on bringing gifts. Such a well-known story. But maybe like my images of Christmas, maybe we see it through some tinted glasses, some romantic ideals. And how many of them have been formed from Victorian times, when Christmas, at least in England, was reinvented. The pregnant Mary never makes a fuss on the donkey ride to Bethlehem. I would make a fuss 80 miles on a donkey. And we don't even know that she was on a donkey at all. You can be sure she was uncomfortable. Theology tells us Jesus was fully human, and so was his mother. The journey long and uncomfortable, leading them to a hometown guilty, at nowhere to stay. That image of the birth in the stable with the baby not crying, lying serenely in his manger with the halo around, with the animals mooing and purring at the birth of Jesus. What a beautiful image. But talk about rose-tinted glasses. The child, like any other newborn baby, would be crying when hungry. The mother would be exhausted after labor. The manger and the hay, not as comfortable and nice cot made specially for Jesus. The place probably smelt of dung, and the animals were adding to it all the time. The Holy Family surrounded by smells and sounds of nature. And Mary felt the pain and knew the fear of having her first baby. Then the shepherds running down the hillside after the visit. I wonder how many who saw them and heard them thought they were just a bunch of drunks. And the wise men, we don't know how many there were. We don't know if there were kings at all, but they brought gold and frankincense and myrrh. What a commotion they must have made with the camel train riding through the streets of Bethlehem. But not on Christmas night, but sometime later. Not to a stable, but to a house. Our visions may have been twisted, but what is not twisted is what happened that first Christmas. The Son of God was born. Jesus came to earth, born in a humble stable. The fact of Christmas story should never be forgotten, that God became like you and me, so that when we die, we could become like him. Emmanuel, God with us, so that we can be with him. That's the great message. That's the greatest gift. Not the angels, nor the star, nor the wise men, nor even the virgin birth. All part of the Christmas story. The greatest gift is that Christ, God, became a human being. He who had existed before in the realms of heaven gave it all up to be a child of a joiner and his wife, to live as we live, to laugh as we laugh, to cry as we cry, to suffer as we suffer, and yes, to die as we die. But we all know this night there was more. For God loved the world so much that he gave his only Son, that whoever has faith in him will not perish, but have eternal life. And that's what Christmas is about, the gift of life. Those people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. And we folks are living in times of darkness now where we can't even be sure the services we organise will be held in time. We can't know if going to visit our family is safe or not. We're frightened about this virus and this different variation of it. There's darkness around us all of fear and worry. But that first Christmas, the light came to disperse the darkness and give us hope. It was a special present, the best we'll ever get. And we don't need to look at it through rose-tinted glasses to see the wonder of it all. The prophet said, a child is born to us, a son is given to us, and he will be our ruler. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. He will rule as King David's successor, basing his power on right and justice from now until the end of time. That's the meaning of Christmas. And that makes me very happy. So I say to you all, Happy Christmas to you. Amen. I'm not sure what the time is, but I think it's probably past midnight. So I'm going to light the Christmas candle. The light has come into a dark world, and the light shines, and it shines through us and in us and for us. Let's sing, shall we? It was on a starry night when the hills were bright. Going to join together again on this Christmas morning with a prayer for others. Let us pray. Loving God, as we remember Mary and Joseph's journey, we pray for those forced to travel long distances, to flee from conflict, to seek work, to fetch water. As we remember that the inns were full, we pray for those the world forgets, those without a safe place to sleep, those without the help they need to get by. As we remember the celebrating shepherds and the singing of the angels, we pray for those who need to hear your message of hope, those who missed out perhaps on education, those whose livelihoods are threatened by climate change or COVID. As we remember your birth in a stable, we pray for those shining light in the darkness, for those who volunteer to help their communities, those who give, campaign, and pray for change. We pray for the aid agencies around the world trying to bring a bit of order in chaotic lives, health to people who can't afford it, and hope to those whose lives seem hopeless. We continue to pray for those who lead us in these difficult times, for the decisions they make for the good of all. We pray for scientists seeking answers, medical staff seeking to help, care staff looking after folk. And we remember all affected in some way through this COVID disease. Lord God, as we gather with all your people around the world tonight, we pray for your church, that it may touch the hearts of visitors and regulars and send them back with a realization of the wonder of Christmas. Continue to bless us here in this congregation and all the congregations who are watching this. Help us to know that we are the light that shines in a dark world. Continue to inspire us by your presence and through your Spirit. And we thank you for families gathered, even in reduced numbers in these strange times, for friends meeting maybe online. We thank you for many who feel good this Christmas. It is right that they can and do enjoy the blessing of Christmas. And as we give thanks for them and the fun they share, so we pray for those tonight who are cold or lonely or hurting, those who have faced this year and lost a loved one, and for whom Christmas is exceptionally hard. Come to them, that their hearts may be warmed and their souls touched by your presence. Child in a manger, infant of Mary, yet Saviour of the world. We bring you this, our prayer, in his most precious name. Amen. We're going to close our service by singing what else but, O Come, All Ye Faithful. Now go in peace, and may the blessing of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and those you love this Christmas day and forevermore. Amen.
Well, a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year when it comes. We wish you a Merry Christmas.
We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish